But of course, this is part of that series that we've been going through entitled Transformed. And you'll remember we looked at, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We looked at that transformation that should take place in a believer's life. And then we looked at Romans 12, chapter 2, that speaks of, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And we focused on the how we are to do that, which is stated in that passage. It says, by the renewing of our mind. But I want to take a little bit of a different angle tonight. And instead of talking about us and our transformation, I want to speak about our enemy and his transformation. And we're going to look here at 1 Peter chapter 5, just because it's such a great text regarding the strategy and the manner by which our enemy, attacks us. And so I want to start here, but then we'll be moving over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you want to go ahead and find that place, you can do that at this time as well. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 8. It says, be sober. In other words, be alert. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Henry Morris was talking about this passage, and he pointed out that, you'll notice in verse 1, it speaks of the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So understand that this isn't just something that young Christians have to deal with, but this is something that Christians at every level in their walk will have to deal with. The devil is a roaring lion. He seeketh whom he may devour. Turn, if you will, over to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And we're going to see really in this passage the defining characteristic, if you will, of our enemy Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. I want you to understand that this is Satan's primary tactic, deception, right? We know in the Word of God he's the father of lies. In the garden, you'll remember that when he approached Eve, we are told that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so deception is really one of the devil's main strategies. And so as we think about that tonight, I've entitled this evening's sermon, The Real Decepticons. Now we all know in the movie Transformers and then the cartoon that preceded that, that was more my generation. I used to watch the cartoon when I was a kid. Used to love that. Was heartbroken when they had the movie and killed off the main character, Optimus Prime. And to be honest with you, things just haven't been the same in my life since that. But but we know in that piece of work that there are two main characters. There are the Autobots, and then there are also the Decepticons. And the Decepticons, of course, are the bad guys. And I want you to understand tonight that that title certainly applies to our enemy, the devil, and his legion of demon forces. They are certainly deceivers, and they are certainly cons. And I want you to be aware tonight that that is how they're going to attempt to throw you off track. They're going to try to deceive you. The devil, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so as we look at this tonight, I would submit to you that you must see through the deception. You must see through the deception. Do you remember the movie that came out a few years ago, Mission Impossible 2, Tom Cruise in those movies? And one of the great things about the Mission Impossible movies that I always love is those face masks that they have, you know, and They seem to carry around 15 in their back pocket, you know, and they can make themselves look like any of the characters in the movie at any time. I don't know how they accomplish all of that, but... Is that Hendrix with the Star Spangled Banner? No. All right, Larry. Seems like this has happened before. Didn't this happen in teen meeting? All right. Pastor, could you take him outside and beat him? All right. Just kidding, Larry. You can come back in. Okay, but you remember Mission Impossible, right? And they had those masks and they could make themselves look like... Do you remember Mission Impossible 2? That was the cool one with the motorcycles and stuff like that. At the beginning of the movie, the biochemist that is the main character who has made this this thing called Chimera, this disease that's going to be the central plot of the movie. You remember Ethan Hunt, the character played by Tom Cruise, shows up to escort him to a safe facility. And as he goes on his merry way, we completely believe that it is Tom Cruise. That is, until they knock everybody out on the plane, and you realize that it's the double agent, the bad guy, and the biochemist ends up dying, right? And he gets hold of that deadly disease and then is going to sell it to the bad guys or whatever. But you remember, because he had that mask on, I mean, at the beginning of the movie, I thought very much that that was Ethan Hunt, the main character, until that point when he ripped off that mask and you saw that he indeed was a deceiver. You know, in much the same way, we're going to learn tonight that that is Satan's tactic when it comes to bombarding us with information that would throw us off track. That's the same kind of idea that he uses in his deception with believers, and even in his deception with unbelievers and preventing them from coming to the truth, even as we looked at last week. Those who don't believe can't believe because the God of this world has blinded their mind. And so it's a deceptive kind of strategy that Satan uses in keeping people from coming to Christ and then in keeping people from living for Christ. Now, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is where we're going to stay for the rest of the evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll pick up in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So you understand the background here. The church of Corinth was being harassed and bombarded by people who claimed to be true ministers of the gospel. And they even obviously gave credentials that would reveal or prove that they were apostles. Because after we see Paul say this, he goes on through giving forth his credentials for being an apostle. But so these people were coming in and they were teaching things contrary to what the apostle Paul and what those who were teaching the correct doctrine had been teaching. And so it's interesting what Paul says here about their transformation. He says it's no marvel that they would act like this because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's no big surprise that his workers would be transformed into ministers of righteousness when they really are not that. And so as we look at this tonight, I want to break it into three parts that I want to consider tonight. And the first thing I want you to consider about the real Decepticons, our real enemy, Satan and his demon forces, I want you to consider the deceptive doctrines that they use. Deceptive doctrines. Look at verse 13 once again. For such are false apostles. You notice the terminology that he uses. Apostles, because that is how they had been pawning themselves off to the church. They were giving credentials and even seeming to be true apostles, speaking with authority. But he says they are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And there's a lot of debate as to who these people would have been, but it seems like the consensus was they may have even been people that had come out of the Jerusalem church, authorized by the council at some point, but were now going into churches and demanding that these churches conform to the law. And if you know anything about Paul's epistles, you know how strongly he attacks the legalism, this idea that many of the Jewish people had that in order for Gentiles to be saved, that they had to adhere to all of the things that were given in the law. But these people came and they had credentials and they looked very much as if they had the authority to be speaking. And so I want you to consider that these false teachers and these false prophets, when they come, they bring with them deceptive doctrines. Now, just like these people came and they tried to show that they were apostles, whatever manner it was, if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that Paul goes through all his credentials. So evidently, these people had given some kind of, you know, some kind of proof or whatever that they claimed that they spoke on authority from the church and what have you. But I want you to understand today, just like those people would try to show that they were true apostles, today we have false teachings out there that try to do the same thing. And the way they do that, the way they establish their authority today, is they print material. In fact, they even print their own Bibles. In fact, I have some of the enemy resources with me here tonight. I want you to see, and I don't want there to be any confusion tonight what I'm talking about, right? Now, many of you may have friends that are Jehovah's Witness, maybe neighbors, right? I want you to understand something tonight. I love the Jehovah's Witness people. I want every one of them to have their eyes open so that they can understand the truth. But the sad fact of the matter is that what they believe currently, they have been deceived by the master deceiver himself. They've been deceived by Satan. And I want you to understand, the things that I have here, if you didn't know the Word of God, you would read these and you'd shake your head in agreement to many of the things that are here. Even this Bible, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, when you read much of it, it sounds very much the same as the real Bible. But my friend, I want you to understand there's a deception to it. Especially if you go to the book of John and you look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In that famous passage, they don't say the Word was with God and the Word was God. They say the Word was with God and the Word was a God, little g. You see, it's very close, but just far enough away to prevent people from getting the truth. You know, if you get it wrong on who the giver is, then you won't get the gift. The gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ gives, it's essential that people understand that He wasn't just a man, He wasn't a prophet, He wasn't a God, He was God come in the flesh. And my friend, you need to be careful that you're not deceived by things like this. The things that are written are very close, and if you're wondering what the way of salvation is, both of these tracts on the back, they give the same kind of idea about how someone can go to heaven. Let's see if you can figure out what the problem is with this. It says, however, Jehovah's Witnesses are convinced that many now living will survive when God's kingdom bring an end to all present governments. And as Noah and his family survived the flood, they will live on to enjoy life forever on a cleansed earth. And here's what they say. But we believe that survival is dependent upon meeting Jehovah's requirements, as the Bible says, the world is passing away, .. but he that does the will of God remains forever. So basically, it boils down to a works salvation. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. They believe that as you continue to study and you hand out enough watchtowers and do the things that you're supposed to do, that that is how you gain entrance into heaven. You see, very close, Jesus and forgiveness and sin and kingdom, all those things are spread throughout their literature. But it's changed just enough to conceal who Jesus really is. You need to be careful of deceptive doctrine. You know, not only do Jehovah's Witness do that, and all these are Jehovah's Witness books, but you may have heard of some people called the Mormons. Same kind of thing. They have an additional book instead of the Bible called the Book of Mormon. And they say that that is an additional revelation to the Bible. And if you read the Book of Mormon, it sounds very churchy. It sounds very much like the King James Bible. But if you study the Mormon's way of salvation, it's the same kind of thing. It boils down to a works salvation. So I want to give you some tools tonight as to how you can pick up on the deception. How you can realize if indeed it's the mask, right? And not really the truth. Turn, if you will, over to Galatians chapter 1. And notice what Paul says here. He says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And listen, in the Greek language, that accursed is a strong, strong, strong word. Verse 9, just in case we didn't get it, he says it again. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." If you want to see if something you're reading or if someone you're hearing on television or someone you've heard on the radio, if you want to test and see if they're the real deal or if they're what we would classify tonight as the Decepticons, let me give you two tests that you can use. Find out what they teach about salvation, okay? If they teach that salvation is by grace, in other words, trusting Jesus Christ alone, that's the only way to heaven. Not Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus church membership, Jesus plus crawling on your knees to the Vatican, anything else like that, okay? Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. If they teach salvation by grace, because Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast," right? If they teach that, then you at least know that they're teaching the right thing when it comes to salvation. And then the second thing is, what do they say about Jesus Christ? Now, if they say that Jesus is a good man or a prophet or an angel or something else like that, you'll know that they're what we're talking about tonight when we talk about the Decepticons. But if they say that Jesus indeed was God, 100% God, that He came in the flesh, that He's God in the flesh, and that He went to the cross to purchase salvation for those who believe and accept His gift, well, then you'll know that then they're on the right track. Now, there's some other little things here and there, like eternal security and things like that. If they believe that you can lose your salvation, there's some problems there as well. But the two big ones is that, what do they believe about salvation, and what do they believe about Jesus Christ? And that's a good way to see if it's the correct doctrine or the wrong doctrine. So there are deceptive doctrines out there, but remember what Paul said. "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So there are deceptive doctrines. The next thing I want you to consider is the deceptive appearances of Satan. And I know I've said this to you before, but let me say it again because I believe we need to hear it again. Many times, the devil is not going to fly up to you as a bat, right? Transform in front of you as Dracula with fangs and say, I want you to do thus and so. Now today, that may work with some people today. He may actually do that. I was thinking about that earlier today, you know. Some of these people that are into the vampires and gothic stuff like that. No offense, Jeremiah, on the Twilight. But, but you know, Satan isn't going to come up and say, boo, I'm the devil, let me drag your soul to hell, all right? He's going to approach you in ways that look desirable. He's going to approach you in ways that even look like a good thing, right? That even look churchy and even look family-oriented and things like that. Understand that the devil, it says, did you notice what it says in verse 14? It doesn't say he's transformed into an old hag, right, that has a wart on her nose, right? Not some witch with a broom or something like that. But he's transformed into an angel of light, right? So there's a deception there in his appearance. And I know I've given you the lyrics to this song before, but they phrase it so eloquently. The song is entitled Angel of Light. And it says, city lights are flashing, they call you to the streets. Hearts are filled with passion and everyone you meet. The boulevard is waiting, it wants to get you high. Neon signs are waiting to sell you anything you want to buy. But I know your devices. It shouldn't seem so odd. You lied from the beginning. I see through your facade. And then the chorus says, angel of light, I see you glow in the night, but you only bring darkness to my soul. Angel of light, you're telling me wrong is right, but I won't let your evil take control. Understand that the things that the devil will try to sidetrack you with, they're going to look desirable. They're going to look fun. And that is the deception of it. It appears beautiful. It may appear even wholesome. But if it goes against what the Word of God says, then it indeed is something from the enemy. C.H. Spurgeon, I love his stuff. Speaking about this, he quotes another author. And this is what the author said. He said, it's notable that nearly all the poisonous fungi, right, mushrooms and stuff, the poisonous ones are scarlet or speckled, and the wholesome ones are brown or gray, as if to show us that the things rising out of darkness and decay are always most deadly when they are well dressed. You know, the devil, he wants to deceive you. And he's not going to use something that would seem not pleasant to you or something that would not seem desirable to you. No, he's going to find the thing that appeals to you. He will transform himself into an angel of light. So be aware of those deceptive appearances of the devil. And then lastly, tonight, he also appears in deceptive ministers. In verse 15, Paul says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, you need to understand tonight that not everybody who says that they're a preacher of God, or not everybody who is called pastor, or whatever the title may be, is certainly of the Lord. You ought to, when you listen to messages, and when you hear things on TV, or when you read a book, you ought to have a discernment, and you ought to test all of that against the Word of God. Because listen, the Word of God, that is the measuring stick for everything that is true and right and holy. You can't go wrong once it conforms to the Word of God. But be careful of those ministers, because Paul says it shouldn't surprise us that the ministers of darkness would pass themselves off as ministers of righteousness, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Steve Green tells this story. He sang for 6 years with Bill and Gloria Gaither. He tells about getting to know some of the work crews that would travel with them. And these men who would hang the lighting and the speakers and things like that, you know, many people, if they were that high up in some of these huge coliseums and stuff, would be dizzy and would never be able to handle a job like that. But these men, they'd be 100 feet in the air walking around, and it didn't seem to bother them. But Steve Green said as he talked with some of those workers, they told him there was one situation that did always bother them. And that was if they were working in a place that had a dropped ceiling. Have you ever seen a building that has these ceilings, has these like acoustic tiles that come through? And it's really just a false ceiling there. And they said as they would work up above that false ceiling, seeing that, you know, that piece there would give them a false sense of security, because they would feel that, you know, they could only fall maybe 6 inches, when in truth, their body would fall right through that acoustic tile and fall all the way down 100 feet or whatever to the bottom of that stadium or whatever. But he used it as an illustration to speak of the false foundation that some false ministers lay in teaching people, well, if you do this and this, and they give some false way of salvation, and they give people a false sense of security. And people follow what they say, and they check the list, and they send their money to them at the right time and everything else. But my friend, listen, when the judgment comes, that false ceiling, they're going to fall straight through it into the pit of hell. My friend, it is so important tonight that you not be deceived by the tricks of Satan. Don't be deceived by the false doctrine, the deceptive doctrine that's out there. Don't be deceived by his deceptive appearance. He's going to show up as something that looks desirable, something that looks pleasurable. And don't be deceived by the deceptive ministers. You say, well, how can I know? The only way that you can know is to know the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word of God. That's why Pastor Eric and myself stress so much your daily Bible reading. You know, if you can get the Word of God into you, then when you hear someone on TV and they say something that's not right, if you have God's Word inside of you, there's something inside of you that just says, that doesn't sound right. And then you're able to look at it more and you're able to confirm or deny whether what that person said was the truth. But you know what the problem is? The problem is with people who only have a surface knowledge of the things of the Word of God. You know, they know Jesus. They know the devil. They know the cross. They know the tomb. And that's about it. And so when the Jehovah's Witness come along and they say, well, Jesus wasn't really God. He was just the Son of God. Oh, well, I do know there's a lot of places where he's called the Son of God. You know, and they're sucked right in to that deception. Or when the Mormons come along and, you know, they begin to twist the Scriptures and say those things because a person isn't grounded, they will follow right along. Oh, yeah, Jesus, and say, oh, okay, yeah, they could be brothers. I guess I could see that. And they're sucked right along in that deception. My friend, understand tonight that there are real Decepticons out there in the battle that we have for truth. Don't allow them to lead you astray. Be on the lookout for deceptive doctrine. Be on the lookout for the deceptive appearances. And be on the lookout for deceptive ministers. Don't allow yourself to be led astray by false doctrine and false teaching.